A tool for people to connect with the universe and begin to understand it.
TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
Welcome to How to Tour Italy with your host, Anthony Capozzoli. Anthony's passion for Italy is contagious. His dream is to bring Italy to life for people everywhere and to help them embrace the wonderful Italian lifestyle at home. Now, with How to Tour Italy, let's welcome travel expert, guidebook author, photographer, and radio host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Hi, this is Anthony Capozzoli with the How to Tour Italy radio show, and today we have kind of a cool segment. My friend Daryl Cross came to visit me in Florence, and this was his very first time to Italy, so I thought I would take an opportunity to talk to him, interview him for the show about all of his favorite firsts and what it was like to take the trains and kind of explore and enjoy and visit Italy. He doesn't speak any Italian. This is his very first time here, although he does travel quite a bit. This is his first time here to wonderful Bell'Italia. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Great week so far.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, dude. I love it. So let's talk a little bit maybe about what your initial thoughts were about Italy. You're going to be doing most of the talking during this interview, which is cool. I'm going to sit back and enjoy my wine.
Well, sounds great. You know, it has been a great week and stuff. And first of all, I appreciate your hospitality. We've been staying here in Florence and using it as a home base. But, I mean, we have hit Rome. We've hit Milan. We're going to Milan tomorrow. We hit Siena, all of Florence. We've just seen absolutely everything and pretty much living it almost like somebody that lives here all the time would do. Not just the strict tourist things, but seeing all the kind of hidden gems and stuff's great.
Well, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that, man. And I'll tell you, because the cool thing was you came in on a pretty good flight, and you arrived in the morning into Rome.
Right.
And then you managed to get all the way up here to Florence by yourself, because I was originally supposed to meet you in Rome, and something I had to end up doing a walking tour, so I wasn't able to meet you. So you took the cab and a train and everything else to get from Rome up here to Florence. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of people are very nervous about that. And it isn't that big a deal if you kind of plan ahead and know what you're supposed to do. So let's talk a little bit about how you managed to get all the way up here.
Sure. And just as a bit of background, I travel all the time for work, probably about 3 days a week, mostly all over the United States, but I've done occasional to Australia and London, but never to Italy. But it's funny how some things are always the same. You know, first of all, when you get off the plane in Rome, it's actually pretty easy to get all the stuff through there, but any guy that approaches you in the airport and says, hey, do you need a taxi? You say no. You
right.
Always say no. You do that in New York.
Right.
You do it in D.C., and you do it here. Because I end up haggling with the guy when he's already walking with my bags.
Right.
And he sticks me in this thing that looks like a van, and he tries to collect a bunch of other people to fill up this van. Probably took me about 20 minutes before we left. We end up going to the train station, got there okay, and paid the right amount, but I don't know what was going on for a good solid 20 minutes to take the shuttle.
Right. Now, just for everyone listening, the thing is, there is a flat fare to get from the airport to the city center, and the reverse is also true from the city center to the airport in Rome. It's 40 euros. Now, Daryl was a witness firsthand to them asking for 80 euros for that exact trip. Don't let them talk you into more money. It's not a different ride. The route doesn't change, and there's no way that they can get away by doing so. The only time that anyone can legally charge more, if you will, is if you arrange a limo, then the limo service is they're okay to charge whatever they want. If they want to charge 80 or 100, it's a private limo ride. It is not managed by the city in terms of a taxi ride. So you did say that you saw that firsthand.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, walk out of the baggage claim, turn right, and walk about 50 yards tops, maybe 50 feet, and there's a line of taxis with a big, huge sign that says 40 euro flat fee. Just go for that and just walk right by anyone.
Right.
And do that in any city you go to, not just Rome, but because you make multiple stops, and I got a screaming baby next to me, you know, the whole way there. So, you know, it's a good way to meet some people and see some things, but yeah, it was a little bit uncomfortable for a while, but all turned out good.
That's true. And now, a lot of times those guys, they do a fine service. Now, you can arrange shuttles, specifically some of the larger hotels, the hotels that whose names you would recognize from the States, have shuttle services that can pick you up from the hotel. You have to prearrange those, and they can meet you and kind of organize you to take a shuttle. Sometimes they're free, sometimes they cost money, but just for travelers going by cab, it is very, very easy. Leaving the Rome airport, go to the big cab stand, it's 40 euro flat fee. Don't let them talk into anything else. Do not pay more. And that's the other little bit of advice too. Make sure that you've got, change. Because if you go to the ATM, right, when you get to the airport here in Rome, or actually we're in Florence, but when you get in Rome, The ATM machines often will give you 50s or 100s in euro. So then if you hand the cab driver a 50 and the fee is only 40, you've got to hope that you're going to get the change, a $10 change back or 10 euro change back. Now they're not, it's not like it used to be where they're, going to rip you off blindly and how do I say that politely? Just beware. Make sure, just get the change. If you have to break the 50, go to the cafe at the airport, get a quick espresso, pay with the 50. They're used to big bills at the airports. They can always make change, and then walk out. Just make sure you've got the exact change of $40. And it's not per person. It's not per bag. It's $40 to take one cab with three people in it and six bags or whatever from the Rome airport to the city center. I want to just emphasize that one more time. How much is it, Daryl?
It's 40.
How many, if I have five people in it, in my cab, how much is it?
I think that'd be 40.
Exactly. If I have 22 bags or four, how much is it?
I'm paying 40.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Cause I get that question all the time. Well, I had three people. They wanted to charge me more. So again, just reiterate, 40 euros. Make the change. Pay them exactly 40. And if you have to, just to make sure you get out to, before you pay, get your bags out of the trunk and all that other stuff. Have them with you and then pay him. Okay. That's my advice for you on a cab ride.
Yeah, and a quick travel trip with the whole money thing in general. First of all, don't ever go to those currency exchange places.
Right.
Your ATM works here.
Exactly.
You may get a $2 fee or stuff, but it's not the like 10% service fee you're going to pay to get money out, stand in this big long line.
That's right.
Changes up and down all the time. And then when you go back, don't return your money to those places because you lose another 5-10% off of that.
Exactly.
You know, make sure you get just enough money to pay out and have enough for the cab ride back to the airport. And then pay the rest, part of your hotel bill with the local currency, wipe it out, pay the rest on a credit card, and now you go home with 0 euros or 0 pounds or whatever. It's perfect.
Excellent tip. That's a great tip. Now, something else on currency safety, if you will, or just kind of minding yourself when you're here in Italy, and this is also true in France and in Germany and everywhere else you're going to go, it's relatively safe here in Italy. And what I mean by that, there's, in terms of violent crime and things like that, it's almost non-existent. You have to be smart, though, in terms of petty crimes, and that's like things like being pickpocketed or being scammed at the cab stands and things like that. So, actually, I did a wonderful walking tour with some people in Rome, George and Cindy, and George gave me a great tip I had not yet heard before. He kept all of his money, obviously, in your front pocket, and I highly recommend that. Keep all your money in your front pocket. Not only that, and I'm getting to George's great tip, I'm going to give you Anthony's tip here. Keep your money in your front pocket, your wallet in your front pocket. Separate the money from your left to right pockets, so if they get one, they don't clean you out completely, number one. So number two, money front pocket, money in separate pockets. And then if you're with someone else, split, each keep an ATM card or each keep a credit card. So this way you're minimizing your risk of exposure, if you will, if you do get tagged. Now what George showed me, which I thought was absolutely fantastic, he put a mock wallet in his back pocket with like 5 euros in it, and he just kept it there. So this way, it's kind of bait. If you're gonna get picked, they're gonna pick your back pocket, not your front, because it's an easier target, and they leave you alone. And he goes, if you do get nailed, just go buy another cheap little wallet from one of those stands for 5 euro, put 5 euros in it, and put it right back in your back pocket. It's awesome.
And they go running around saying, oh, cheap American, he's got nothing, no credit card.
Yeah. So, George, I got to tell you, thanks, buddy. That was a great tip, and I had a great time giving you guys the walking tour in Rome. It was awesome. So, and that was one of the smartest travel tips I've heard in terms of protecting your money. My buddy Daryl here travels all the time, and he's nodding his head to give me the thumbs up that it was a good idea. And it, you know, thankfully he didn't get pickpocketed. He was also like 6'6" and a kind of a beefy football player looking guy. So they're going to leave a guy like that alone more than likely. But someone like me,
catch him.
Someone like me, they're going to, you know, they'll probably pickpocket because I'm on the fun size side of things here. So,
well, the thing though that Anthony was telling me, you did a good job with this too, and you still yell at me. I have this terrible habit of, I take my wallet out and I pull the money out of it. I have one of those front clip little wallets. So I take it out and I lay it on the counter and, you know, get this out. And Anthony is about to have an aneurysm every single time I'm doing it. I'm like, buddy, please put that thing away. And so, you know, take out just what you need. Put it back right away.
Yes.
Don't even turn and turn to the side because people just watch for it all day long. And we get, I think, a little comfy in the States that if I left my wallet there, I'd probably get a call the next day. Hey, you left your wallet here. It ain't happening here.
No, it won't. And the other thing too, that's also true of your cameras, your video cameras, your flip videos, and any of your electronic equipment. Electronical? Did I just say electronical?
It sounds like a cool club.
I'm a little tired. I do apologize. But any of your electronic equipment you've got in your phones, anything else, okay, you're at the restaurant. When you sit down, make sure you sit in a position that, you know, that you're, I guess, safe in where you're sitting, and put your bags, backpacks, whatever it is, under your feet, under the table. Don't set them on the table. Don't hang them off the back of the chair. The chances of them getting picked are very, very likely. That's also true of any of the electronic equipment that you have. Make sure that you don't just set it on the table. Put it between your legs on the seat or in the bag under your feet. Very, very important. You see it happen all the time, whether you're sitting down, and even if you're walking around in Florence or in Rome or in Naples or anywhere else. I don't want to paint the wrong picture here. It's not like you see this happening 24/7 everywhere you go.
No, absolutely not.
You're safe 99% of the time, but it's that 1% of the time that you're not paying attention that something bad like that's going to happen. So my next bit of advice too is when you're walking with your purse, it might not look as elegant, but sling it over your head and over your, like, so it's kind of hanging cross body. If you hang it over one shoulder and let your arm hang because you're looking at something in a shop or a store or a market, like a cart in the market or something, you could get picked that way. They just take the whole bag, things like that. So always go across your body with your cameras, your backpacks, your bags, things like that.
Yeah, and I think where it happens, you know, people take advantage of the unlocked door, and you don't want to be the unlocked door. You know, if you're protecting your stuff, they'll move on to something else. And one of the main reasons that you're not paying attention to these things is because you're caught in the magnificence of what you're seeing around you. You got your head up, you're looking around the churches and domos and statues and all these things, and you get so taken with just the sheer scale of everything. And it's just such a wonderful place to visit. You feel like you're walking around a museum all day,
right.
But it's a museum that you can go and have a drink or a gelato or something 50 feet away from.
Right.
It's absolutely amazing. And it's not one of those things where everything's behind ropes. You can go up, put your hands on things, you know, just really take your time and feel the texture of a column, not just stare at it from 50 feet away.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. And no matter where we went, everything had a different flavor, a different style of people. The food was different, the noise, the traffic, everything had its own unique feel to it. And I think that's just fantastic.
It really is. And like I said, this is Daryl's first time here, although he has been an extensive traveler. Like he was saying, I'm really interested in this interview, too, to talk a little bit about some of the wonderful impressions he got. And what Daryl kind of taught me to say is the reveal, which is pretty cool. So I was able to enjoy Italy with Daryl, this being his first time. And every moment was a reveal for me to show Daryl. So we did lots of great things. And so maybe let's talk a little bit about kind of what your favorite memories were of Florence. And I know it's hard because a lot of these things start kind of blending together in terms of what you've seen. And that's why the pictures are so important and the videos that you take are so important, to go back and relive your memories. Because believe me when I say, things will start to kind of blend together and run together. And which museum was that? And did we see that or did we not? So best to take notes. I bring a little diary with me even today. And I jot down little notes, a glass of wine that I enjoyed, something that I've eaten, what I've seen, things like that. So maybe we could talk a bit, Daryl, about some of your favorite sites here in Florence.
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the things, of course, is, you know, Anthony's a great guide. You're a great guide to take me to things that you need to see.
Thanks, buddy.
And one of them, of course, is going to see, you know, the David. Mm-hmm. You hear about it and you see it, but it doesn't prepare you for the first time you walk in and make a right turn and turn the corner, and it's right there 50 feet away.
Yeah.
And it's huge. And people are gathering around this thing like, you know, moths around a flame, you know, just, you know, awe-inspired. And it's just, and as you walk closer and closer to it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's just, you can't capture it in a book, on TV, in your friends' pictures, anything like that. And that's what a lot of things seeing here in Florence. Every time you turn a corner, it's, oh, my. Look at that.
Yeah.
And it's huge, and there's people all gathered around and just taking in the grandeur of it and imagining the people that walked these steps before you did for the last 1,500 years. Fantastic.
Yeah. It is cool.
It is great. And so, yeah, the things start to do blend together a little bit. So, you know, I do highly recommend what I did for the first time. Bought one of those little flip video phones. Get them for a couple $100 and pictures. Took pictures of everything, and including sometimes the little plaques that were next to statues or whatever.
Yep.
So you can go back and tag those photos and what was this? I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So yeah, being able to do that and then saying, yeah, let's go grab some lunch. Go sit down and have an hour and a half leisurely lunch. Do some people watching as we go. fantastic. So there's a lot to see, a lot of things that you plan to see, and a lot of things you had no intention of seeing, you just stumble upon. We found this great little nightclub slash restaurant called Salamanca, which is on 80 Rossi, I guess is the address of it. And
here in Florence, there are two types of addresses. There's black and red addresses. Red addresses are business addresses. Black, or sometimes blue, are like domestic addresses. So it's 80 Red is, but it's off of Via Ghibelline, which is spelled G-H-I-B-B-E-L-I-N-E, I believe, off the top of my head. But, so it's 80 Red Ghibelline.
Very good. So learning new things all the time. Yeah. And during the interview, I haven't left yet, but great place, you know, and if you really pay attention and are nice and talk to the bartenders, they take really good care of you.
Absolutely.
You meet people at the bar and go up to people, and they're there to have a good time. Half are probably tourists, half are locals. And us being able to do that, me coming from Chicago and going up to a group of people you never saw, 10,000 miles away from home and do that, it's a great experience because you also hear what they saw and
exactly.
What they found. And you know, we just kept running into people on the street all the time. Everybody has this great attitude about life. They're all excited about tomorrow, of what we're going to see and what we're going to do, and it feeds off each other.
Yeah,
and,
it's really cool.
I really like it.
I'll tell you, man, in the bar slash restaurant, in fact, we're going there for dinner tonight, because believe it or not, here in Italy, there are other places to eat besides Italian food. And I don't mean to blaspheme, and what I mean by that is the Italian food here is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you can't get any better than the food here, especially regional food in a cuisine specific to Florence or to Rome and things like that. However, it is quite nice once in a while to try something different. Now, this place we're going to is the club that we went to, and you can see it on howtotouritaly.com on the food and wine page. We'll be profiling them, and we've got some cool videos up there. The bartenders do a little bit of flair. The food we'll find out is delicious, but the little snacks we've tried there so far have been off the charts good. And they specialize, obviously, in Spanish cuisine, tapas, things like that. They have some Italian food there on the menu as well, and they also have some Mexican food. So if you're dying for a little chips and salsa or burrito, you can get that there too. We're doing that. We've been in Italy for quite some time, so we start to kind of wish we had a good burrito or a good taco and things like that. So we're going there tonight. But what's very cool about that place, I thought, it was very, very friendly, like Daryl said. Super cool people that work there, the people that are hanging out there. If you want to go dancing when you're here, go to this place. It is truly amazing. They play wonderful salsa music. And every time I'm there, my really good buddy Max, his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Lobo, go dancing every single night down in Miami. And God bless them. They've been married for a very long time, and they still enjoy each other's company so much, and they love dancing together so much. And the only thing I'm there when I'm at this wonderful place is I kind of wish in my heart of hearts that Mr. and Mrs. Lobo were here to kind of tear up the dance floor and show people how to really put it down for the salsa dancing. Because it's awesome, and right, Daryl? You saw how many people turned it up last night doing some salsa dancing.
Oh, the place was full. I mean, it was just wall-to-wall. And those people come off the floor, come to the bar. New people go up to the floor. I was waiting for you to go up there for a little while, but there was none of that going on.
No. I was enjoying my bar stool for a little while. It was
we had
cool.
A nice comfy spot, and then that worked out pretty well.
It was good.
But, yeah, I mean, people are just having a great time. I mean, they're really enjoying it and stuff, and I've been on vacation other places, and you know what? A lot of times you go on vacation these places like Orlando or Disney World or any of those places, and it almost feels artificial. People are there, and they're moving almost in herds from place to place, standing in lines, go here, do this, now it's time to eat, and it's a blank slate here. There's so much to do and so many different things that it's just a great way to experience it. So stay out late, sleep in a little bit, see things that you weren't planning on doing, talk to people, and just let it kind of take off in any direction that you want. You're not going to miss anything. The big things are there. And, you know, we did the same in Rome, spent a little time in Siena, and it's all that same kind of feel.
Absolutely, I agree. There are a couple of tips, and we'll get through all of the individual tips a little later. But in terms of enjoying Florence, we're still talking to Daryl about what he liked about Florence here. So we've got the David, and by the way, on the How to Tour Italy program, you can download what's called an NCITU about the Academia. And I talk in detail about the prisoners of Michelangelo, the David, the Academia itself, the museum that the wonderful David is, where you can see it. So, check that out too. You bring that along, listen to the NC2 segment on the Academia, the David and the prisoners as you're enjoying it. And this way you can have a little context kind of put around all those wonderful sculptures and things that you've seen. So kind of moving on from there, what else? I know that you really enjoyed Piazza Signoria and all the wonderful statues kind of outside there in Loggia di Lanzi and in Piazza Signoria. So what were your impressions of some of those?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of the things that you, I remember you grow up like listening to mythology and all these things.
Yeah.
And you see the actual statues of them, like in mid-story or before the story, whatever it is. It's a great way of making it real, because there's always just something you heard in a book and you heard teachers talking about. But once again, you go there, you're able to just walk right up to them, pretty much put your hands right on them, and see it firsthand. And, you know, and then you turn around and look at the grandeur behind you, some great church or some great piazza or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's all right in the middle there. So, you know, I love the Perseus statue. It's one of my favorites. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I love that statue outside of the church, Santa Croce, Dante.
Yeah.
And the great, great, majestic thing looking down on you. And it's exactly the feel you'd think from the guy who wrote the Divine Comedy. You know, a little stern.
Exactly.
It's like your angry Uncle Frank, you know, coming looking down at you. And it's a little intimidating.
But, yeah, definitely.
Know, and then we go to somewhere else where we go into a piazza where in the day there's a farmer's market going on. You come back there 5 o'clock, it's gone. And it's just all nightlife, and you come back the next morning, the market's back.
Exactly.
Just constant life in the city. Go, go, go.
Well, that might be actually a good segue, because now we've kind of talked a little bit about one or two highlights here in Florence. But let's talk also, by the way, before we kind of move on to Rome, what was it like by yourself once you got in the shuttle and got dropped off at Termini, the train station in Rome? What was it like to buy your ticket for the train and get on the train not speaking any Italian? I mean, let's talk a little bit about that experience, because people get nervous about that sometimes. I don't speak the language. I've never taken the train or public transportation in a foreign country before. So let's maybe talk a little bit about what your experiences were with that. I gave you some tips. But the same tips I gave Daryl, by the way, are all available on howtotouritaly.com, either as a part of a podcast or radio segment here for the radio show, or from on iTunes. Video segments that I have available, you can watch me kind of walk you through some of the steps. So let's talk a little bit about some of that experience.
Yeah, pretty easy. Get out of my shuttle / taxi and walk up to the station. And, you know, it's pretty easy. Walk right in, and right off to the right side, there are all these automatic machines. And you go up, and you're able to select English. Now, first tip of the day, Florence is Firenze in
right.
Italy. I did not know that. And so I'm like, I don't see Florence anywhere. Now, they'll translate it in English, but it makes it a lot harder to find on the train and on the signs and all that. Just remember that. Firenze equals Florence.
Right.
So, but once you go up there, you know, take your time. The place is really busy. And so it's your first inclination is to rush. You know, get through that, get through that. It's like when you have pressure behind you at the ATM and you can feel people peering over your shoulder. Take 5 minutes.
Right.
Watch what's going on. Watch how other people order, and then do your thing. Okay. Go right up to the trains, and they're usually running at least once an hour to Firenze. I'm not sure what it is, but I didn't have any trouble. I waited about 20 minutes. It's an hour and a half ride, very, very easy on the way over there. It doesn't stop for very long. Get off the train, you know, and you know, you'll have time to do it, but everybody else is trying to do it with their bags. And, you know, the station is much, much smaller in Florence, so it's pretty easy to get out of there. Taxi stands right outside. So you're pretty much can walk within 15 minutes to the city center, or take a cab just for a few euro to get in there, or have a good friend pick you up.
That's right. Now, a couple things about the train station. I want to give you guys some pointers on two different things. One, if you made your reservations online, so you have a Eurorail pass, be sure when you get to the train station, you have to wait in line. You have to have them stamp the pass active, so that your URL pass, so now it's active, you've got to sign it and then date it for your first day of travel. Let's say you bought a four-day pass. If you didn't do that, so you don't have a URL pass, you need to buy a ticket. You can either, one, wait in line and wait in a usually a pretty long line, especially at Rome at the Termini train station. So and in Florence, it could be pretty lengthy as well. So you can wait in line, then buy a ticket from the ticket booth, the ticket window. Very, very easy to do. What I highly recommend, however, is using those automatic ticket machines. It looks like an ATM in the middle of the train station. You walk up. You don't put your credit card in to start. You pick what language you want the machine to be in. English, Italian, French, Spanish, German, you name it. Click on English. It all is in perfectly written English, and then you choose, like, with the city you want to go to, the day you want to travel, how many people are traveling, do you want an open seat or do you want a reserve seat? And all that means, an open seat is a little bit less money, and you can sit anywhere on the train you want, unless somebody comes up with a reserve ticket that has that seat reserved and you have to move. I recommend just getting a reserve seat. It's a couple of extra bucks. Then this way, you get your reserve seat, it spits out your ticket, go to the yellow, little yellow machine in front of the track, stamp the ticket active. Okay. Then you're going to go to, in on the ticket, it's going to be C-A-R-R. That's carrozza. That means car in Italian. It's going to have anywhere from 001 to 012 for, you know, to car 12. You go to that car, and then the next thing is going to be posti, P-O-S-T-I, and that just means seat. And that'll tell you the number, the seat number that you have. You sit down. If you have big bags, you can put, feel secure to put your bags in the little baggage carousel at the beginning of the car. If they're little bags and things that could be easily picked up, go find your seats. If you've got two people with you, have one person sit in the seat to watch your carry-on stuff, and then the other person just go and stand by the baggage, carts, whatever, at the head of the train until the train takes off. And then once you're off and running, you're good to go. That really would only be a real issue, quite frankly, in Naples, but why take chances? That's what I recommend. So with that, then Daryl ended up, now we're kind of heading down from Florence. We're going down to Rome. And so what were some of the things we did in Rome? I'm going to kind of lay some things out here. One, we've got those obnoxious flower peddlers and yeah. junk peddlers, which are a nightmare. So let's talk about them first because they're kind of an animated conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the whole fact that, you know, if you're there with your lady or your husband or whoever it is, you don't have to feel like you are a bad spouse, partner, whatever, if you don't buy them a series of junk. I mean, these people will come up and sell you flowers and stuffed animals. I was just waiting for, they're trying to take Polaroid photos while I've got like six digital cameras on the thing. And I'm just waiting for them to come up and offer to change the oil pretty soon.
Right.
They're everywhere. And they're swimming around. And by the way, they will definitely deal if you are big into the flowers. Yeah. By the end of the night, these guys are walking around and offer us what? 2 dozen roses for €1.
Exactly.
So if you want to look like Mr. Playa and with all the roses and stuff, I mean, you can do it for €1 and pass them out on the way back to the hotel. Oh, but, you know, they are everywhere. And they walk right into the restaurant. And I'm not quite sure why they don't stop them from walking in the restaurant. But little tip, goes with the security thing, too. Kind of like sitting in the front row at a comedy show, you're going to get picked on. If you're the guy by the outside of one of those outdoor cafes or by a window, you're going to have lots of flower guy friends.
Yeah,
because
oh, yeah.
It's just very easy to do. It also is the easiest spot to get your stuff yanked, by the way.
Exactly.
Keep that in mind. But I think even more disheartening is the flower guys. They're just trying to make a living, I understand, but they will come up to you 13, 15 times in the course of a one-hour meal.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they will harass you so bad that you start to get so frustrated and angry that you start to yell at them a little bit. So just mind your manners. Ignore them completely. Don't make eye contact with them. They will go so far as to push flowers in your face. Set them down on the table. They will come up to you at every possible opportunity. They all work together. So what are some of the things that we saw them, some of the junk they were trying to sell us, Daryl? They have flowers. We saw umbrellas. We saw stuffed animals. We saw bullhorns, which I never really understand, although they always seem to have them. Little junky cars that are battery powered and they kind of roll around on their own, I guess.
Right. And then there's even guys in the street with fake finite pieces of art laid out in the street.
Right.
We walked by some of those. Don't buy those.
You can exactly.
Get them off of allposters.com. but you know, we saw these guys doing a little bit of everything and stuffed animals. Pretty much when you go to the circus and your little kids are going, buy me that plastic stuff. That's what they're selling. Tons of it. So
yeah.
Buy them for your kids when you get back. And the more in love you look with the person you're with, the more you're going to get hit with those flower guys and ones buying the stuffed animals. So
it's
look angry.
Yeah, look angry. And then what was the one other thing about those guys? You will see people selling purses, usually purses, on blankets in the middle of the street. It is illegal in Italy to purchase a purse, a counterfeit purse, if you will. The fine can be anything. I think they post it from €500 to €10,000 is the maximum fine they can hit you up with. What that means is the guy who legally sells the bag gets a slap on the wrist and not much happens to him. What really happens, they take the bag away from you and they will give you this fine, which they expect you to pay on the spot. It's not like they give you a ticket and you walk away and you figure out when you're going to pay it or I'm going to leave the country. They're not going to come after me. They will fine you, and so it is illegal to buy these bags, and the reason they do it is it's hurting the businesses here, the legitimate businesses in Italy. Now, you can roll the dice if you want to. You can buy the bags. I recommend that you do not do that because they do have undercover people watching, and if they catch you doing it, they will I don't know, they'll give you a ticket. And like I said, it's very expensive. 500 euro to 10,000 euro, it's just not worth the risk. If you want a fancy bag or a counterfeit bag, the counterfeit bags in the States are probably just as good and just as counterfeit as the ones here in Italy. So avoid buying them at all costs, because I'd hate to see anybody get a fine or nailed for something like that, because it will ruin your vacation.
And by the way, a quick story that goes along with that. I work with the legal industry a lot. I work for a company that does speaking and selling to the legal industry. And heard a great story one time about how the general counsel, the head lawyer, they were hiring a new law firm to do their intellectual property for Kate Spade. And the general counsel of Kate Spade actually told us this story, that a bunch of people come in to give the good presentation. One of the female lawyers that comes in with a fake Kate Spade bag. They didn't get within 10 feet of the conference table, and this person could spot it a mile away. I don't know how, in stitching, but they didn't get that business. And the moral of the story is, people that own Kate Spade bags know you don't have a Kate Spade bag. So, you know, you may think you're doing this great counterfeit deal, but when you have this tattered mess hanging from your shoulder in about a month or so, you know what? Work a couple of hours, save some money, buy a Kate Spade bag,
right,
or a Louis Vuitton bag. And, you know, here in Italy, I got this great leather portfolio that I've always wanted. I haggled with the guy, got a great deal. You can find these things. You know, just invest in it. It'll last a long time, and it's not worth the penalty anyway.
Well, that reminds me, too, maybe we should talk a little bit about some of the shopping for leather here, because it is quite an art form here in Italy, and that means, so let's talk about the main leather components you can buy. Leather bags, leather jackets, leather belts, and leather shoes. Leather gloves. So those are the big five, I think, you can buy here. They are absolutely everywhere in every city. Do yourself a favor. Shop around. Shop hard. Negotiate. Be willing to walk out. Don't fall in love with anything. And move on. They will negotiate for the most part. The ticket price that you will see on any of these things is times two what they're willing to give up. So if it's 500 euro, you could probably feel comfortable negotiating down to 250 euro, 200 euro. If you buy two jackets, you can for sure get down to 200 euro for one of them. So immediately out of the gates, do not buy anything unless you get half off the ticket price, with just out of the gates starting. And that's what Daryl did here, and he ended up with a really nice portfolio, and you got a purse as
right.
well. And
right.
So it ended up being, I'd give up the price here because it's your personal purchase, but you got a pretty good deal on it because you went in, you negotiated intelligently, you were willing to walk out, the guy knew it. In fact, we did walk out once and came back.
Right.
So you got the bag and the leather, the portfolio for the computer, right?
Right. And just to clarify, the purse was not a personal purchase. It was going to be a gift. But
yeah, so, sure.
Yeah, I'm not that worldly. So, I was able to get this great stuff for that. And the other thing is too, I would remind people, because I always have this issue, but if you're going to get a gift for somebody, like a leather coat or whatever, they cut things different here.
Oh, yeah.
The arms sure. aren't as big, the necks aren't as big, and everything like yep. that. Everything's just much more slender, and it's a different fit. And so if you're coming back to, you know, your big burly guy from Oklahoma State playing football, he's not going to get his wrists through the thing.
No, you're not going to find anything in Italy, I don't think, for the big burly guy that plays football for Oklahoma State, I'm guessing.
Right, so get him a purse.
Get him a purse. Leather gloves, whatever the case. Exactly, but... that reminds
me
too.
Texas fan, by the way. Sorry about that.
What I will say too, another kind of tip for traveling here, you're going to pack your bags and there's two bits of advice here. Lay out your clothes that you're going to bring to Italy. Okay. Whatever you've laid out, cut whatever that is in half. Bring half the clothes you want and twice the money. That's kind of my rule of thumb. But let's just say we all can't do that. So you're going to pack your bags. Let's say you bring two or three bags. You're going to buy things along the way. Where are you going to put this stuff? My advice to you is to buy a duffel bag that kind of folds up onto itself. You can go usually to REI. I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's an outdoor store. They usually have them, or Dick's Sporting Goods, places like that. Even ebags.com, you can get foldable duffel bags or whatever you want to call them. I guess it's foldable duffel bag
yeah,
the right way?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then just clip it with one of those little carabiner clips onto your backpack or whatever you're carrying onto the plane. And this way, when you come home from Italy, everything you bought goes in the duffel bag. You can check in the duffel bag. Now, if you exceed the weight limit, you're just going to pay penalties or whatever. But just so you know, you can bring all the clothes you brought with you back with you in the luggage. And then also the duffel bag is full with all the gifts that you bought, because you will buy a lot of stuff. I mean, for the most part, whether it's, leather jackets and gloves, things like that, or pottery. So just be aware that you'll be you'll need some extra space. That's my advice to you on what to do to bring extra space with you.
Yeah, and there's also a series of little kiosks right outside the train station in Florence that sell luggage. Right. They're right out there, and it's cheap. And so I came here with one less bag than I should have. So I actually bought a big black duffel bag that I can use at the gym when I go back for €10.
Yep.
They'll negotiate a little bit too, by the way.
Absolutely.
But there's three or four of those stores. Go back and forth and just buy one right there on your way out or your way in. So try to pack one bag to check in when you come in, and then so you can have two when you go back,
exactly.
And then the airlines don't charge you as much for doing it. And then you can spread out the weight that way too, so you don't have to worry about it as much. I'm not sure how I'm getting all this stuff home. I think it's going to be heavy, but you know, it's worth the $15 for the extra bag fee.
Yeah, without a doubt. So let's talk a little bit about Rome. What were your thoughts about Rome? I know you thought, I don't want to put words in your mouth. So let's talk about your first impression or the reveal of Rome itself. We got dropped off in the center.
Well, Rome is a much, much different feel of a city. I mean, it's bigger. It's busier. There's people everywhere. It feels more like a city center like a London or New York, and not so much of a almost a neighborhood type feel that Florence has, or even to more so Siena or any of the other cities. So it really feels like an international center. And so, but you're driving along these streets and it's typical businesses and buses and people going back and forth. And then you turn a corner and it's the Vatican. Right there.
Yeah.
Is driving down the road and these walled things and you're seeing it's like, it can't be that big. It really, because we're really far away still, and it's really big.
Yeah.
And so you keep walking and walking, and you're no closer.
And it is that big. It really is.
And so we go into the Museum of the Vatican, and I didn't have any kind of feel for what we were going to see at all. And it's, you didn't know there was that much stuff in the world that they had or exists at all, and it's all in one building.
Right.
You know, statue after statue of Michelangelo and paintings by Raphael and all these things is one after another. Go into a new room, oh, another painted ceiling, you know, with with unbelievable statues and works of art and famous things that you've seen in books. And it's really funny because you start getting these flashbacks of high school and college of seeing these things in textbooks. You're like, oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it 30 feet tall before. And it makes a big, huge difference.
It does.
And the colors are more than you think they would be. And it's just bigger. And you have to stand back. And I remember a constant problem I had. I have this little video phone and I have the camera. I can't step far back enough to get it all in the picture. So you do the best you can.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say lay down on the ground, do whatever you have to do to do it. But, yeah, we just kept going around and around. We go into the Sistine Chapel. And by the way, be quiet and stop taking photos because they have a huge sign that says no photos.
Right. So what Daryl means by that is tell them a little story about that lady that we saw with, I understand it's an overwhelming experience for a lot of people that have never been there before, and it truly is once in a lifetime, and it's beautiful. It's amazing, but we have to be respectful to what the Sistine Chapel actually is. This is the room that they elect the Pope in. They take it very, very seriously, and they expect you to be silent. No one's ever silent. I've never been in there where it's totally quiet. But be polite, be courteous, be aware of what the rules are. You can whisper amongst yourself, whispering in one's ear as if you, just whisper quietly if you have a question. If you take a walking tour with me, I explain the Sistine Chapel and what's going on well before we get there. So we've had our conversations, and then, so we don't have to talk in there. The other thing is, you're not allowed to take pictures in there for two reasons. One, it will ultimately destroy this wonderful masterpiece by not just Michelangelo, by the way. There are artworks there by Perugino and Botticelli, and the list goes on and on and on about how wonderful the Sistine Chapel is. But the Japanese paid for it to be restored. I don't know if it's the Japanese government or an institution or a business in Japan. So they now have photo rights of the Sistine Chapel, so they prevent you from taking pictures in there. So this one lady walks in. She's got the I Love Rome T-shirt, just like the one that you see that says I Love New York, with a disposable camera. If you know which ones I mean, where you have to roll with your thumb, and then you just turn the whole camera in to get the pictures developed. She's got that on. She's got a little visor on that it looked to me like she got it from one of those guys that were selling as the goods and the wares.
I loved her.
Yeah. And she's snapping pictures away with a flash, talking at the top of her lungs, yelling across the Sistine Chapel. And I took everything in me to not go and say, ma'am, please, you can't do that, but it's not my place. But she did get scolded. The guards came down, took the camera from her, and escorted her out of the Sistine Chapel. Now, that will happen to you. And it, not just because she had a disposable camera. If you have a Nikon D70 strapped on your neck and you're flashing pictures, they will take that camera from you and they will throw you out of Vatican City. Just as a little word to the wise. So be cautious. You can buy pictures, by the way, before you get into the Sistine Chapel and after you exit the Sistine Chapel at a number of, Vatican-sponsored vending stations, for lack of a better term. And they're wonderful, wonderful pictures. So just buy those. You'd be way better off anyway. Great angles, perfect lighting, than the ones you take on your own. Sorry, go ahead, Daryl.
Oh, no. You just need to have the proper sense of reverence in a place like that. And, it, you know, whether you're in Washington, D.C. at the monuments or you're here or wherever, there's a certain level of reverence. And so I would always encourage people to act like they're in church, their synagogue, the temple, whatever.
Right.
If someone walked in your church in the middle of the thing and thought it was pretty and started taking pictures, you'd be angry. So don't do it here.
Right.
Because this is pretty much the world's kind of chapel or, you know, for everyone that they come to see. And they only get to see it sometimes once.
Right.
And maybe for 10, 15 minutes. So they don't want to hear you yammering on or watching your flashes destroying the art. It ruins the experience. So, you know, have the proper reverence for it. Take it all in. There are professional photographers that can provide you with good pictures better than Aunt Betty's things off her Nikon. So go do that. And then we moved on. After that, came out of there and went into St. Peter's.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, before we get on to St. Peter's, I want to give people a tiny bit of advice. When you're leaving the Sistine Chapel, you have two options. Michelangelo's Last Judgment to your back. That's the altar wall. Okay. You're going to walk through the screen. You know what I mean when you're there. It's a very large screen. When I mean screen, it's not like a screen on your window. It's a chapel screen. So it's an enormous. You have to walk through a doorway. There's going to be a doorway to your left. It's going to say for individuals, and they'll ask you to leave that way. And it's going to lead you back around and around and out the Vatican Museums, but you're going to leave the exit for the Vatican Museums proper. If you go to the back with the Last Judgment, Michelangelo's Last Judgment to your back, and walk out to the right, it's going to say for groups and escorted tours only. Just act like you're part of one of the groups. Walk out to the right. You're going to walk down the same staircase the Pope would after he's been elected in the Sistine Chapel. And then that's going to spit you out right in St. Peter's. This way you don't have to go back all the way around and come through the security again through St. Peter's Square to get into St. Peter's Basilica. If you just go exiting the Sistine Chapel to the door on the right, just to clarify, you'll end up exactly at St. Peter's without having to leave and go through security again. So with that, Daryl, on to St. Peter's.
Yeah, and it's not like we were hopping ropes and running away
from security.
You just walk down. It's not a big deal. It's just a trick or tip.
It's a tip.
A tip to do it. And so we go into St. Peter's. I got lost from you guys for a little while.
You wandered
around about 5 minutes, but that's fine. So we come in there, and once again, awe-inspiring big. It is so big. And you kind of think as you walk in, you have to look at every corner and every wall and look up and then move on about 20 feet and do the same thing again because there's stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And even the smallest little statues that might not be any bigger than your arm are unbelievable priceless works of art with the detail. And the other thing that I really like, everybody looks at the ceilings and you see the grand columns, but I like always just personal thing, look halfway up the columns. And they have the detail ornate things around the tops of the columns or the middle, things like that.
Yeah.
Take a look at that and imagine the amount of work that into it. So we ended up walking all the way around. There's all these different places. Once again, reverence, please. You know,
yeah.
Keep it nice and keep it down. And go all the way up to the front. Pretty much make a lap around the whole place. It takes a long time.
It does. Yeah, I would say to do it comfortably. To sit down and enjoy it, even if you don't know what each of the tombs or the monuments are, I think if you give yourself 2 hours minimum to enjoy it, so you can take some pictures, some videos. Some of the things I love the most, Michelangelo's Pietà. I love Bernini's Baldacchino right in the center, which means canopy in Italian. I love St. Peter's chair at the altar, which is wonderful. It's just a glorious, glorious work of art with St. Peter's chair there. You can't miss it by Bernini. And then the Bernini statues that kind of go around the Baldacchino. St. Veronica, St. Longinus, St. Andrew, right around there. You know which ones I mean when you see it. And all this, again, is going to be covered in explicit detail with all the wonderful insight that you need to truly appreciate all these works and masterpieces at howtotouritaly.com. So sorry about the shameless plugs, but I just want to make sure everyone knows that there's a lot more to How to Tour Italy than just this, than the radio show here. So with the website, it gives you all the support you need to, you know, download itineraries, get information from, anything that you might want to know about the works of art that you're going to see, where to eat, how to get from A to B, how to use the metro, how to buy tickets, that kind of stuff. So I'm sorry, continuing on. Now we're walking out of St. Peter's, and now we're enjoying St. Peter's, the piazza, which is absolutely fantastic. And something else I should point out, we took one cab in Rome, and we walked everywhere else. And the reason we did that is we just wanted to kind of beat the clock a little bit and get into the Vatican Museums at 2:30 instead of pushing it a little bit later. It's the only reason we took a cab. Otherwise, we walked, 99% of the time. So it's a completely walkable city, regardless of what people tell you.
Right, absolutely. You know, wear the comfortable shoes.
Yeah.
We probably spent probably all that time, probably put in 10 miles over the course of a couple of days. Wear shoes that you would like to walk 10 miles in.
Absolutely.
And wear clothes. And, one thing about clothes I didn't know beforehand, if you're a female that has like a,
spaghetti straps
or whatever, bring like a cover up or a shawl or something, whatever it is. And, what these things are called. But bring something to cover over your shoulders, because they'll ask you to do that when you go into certain churches. And it's nothing personal. It's just they have a sense of reverence for it. It is a church. A lot of times an active church. So they want you to be proper dressed.
Exactly. We're actually going to take a short break and come back after these messages. And I'm actually going to do a battery change. I'm running out of batteries in my microphone. So we'll be right back after these words at howtotouritaly.com. Ciao.
Dreaming of renting a villa in Italy? Papavero Villa Rentals, your Italy experts, will make that dream come true. We specialize in Italy 100% of the time. It's our passion and we love what we do. We're experts on travel to Italy and we're here to help you plan the perfect trip. From the Italian Alps to the beaches of Sicily, we personally select each property to assure your comfort. We travel to Italy multiple times a year to inspect and revisit each property to assure your physical comfort as well. We thump the pillows, check the water pressure, and sleep in the beds. We know each property intimately and are happy to help you choose the one that best suits your desires. And we don't stop there. Our frequent trips to Italy enable us to arrange day tours and services, all pre-approved by us so you can book with confidence. No matter what your dream may be, a stunning villa with staff on Lake Como, a country cottage in Tuscany, a chic apartment in Rome, or anything in between, trust your dream to Papavero Villa Rentals. Call us toll-free at 1-866-737-0000. That's 1-866-737-0000. Or visit us online at papaverorentals.com.